You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Yes, hello and welcome to The Punt. Alex Dunn in the hot seat on this occasion. Dave Kellner couldn't be bothered once again. It's becoming a habit for him now. But we've got FA Cup fever here at William Hill, and we've got eight games to go at, and joined on the line by, well, the two regulars, Tom Kerwin and Derek McGovern. How are you both, chaps?
Very well.
Very well, yes. Very FA Cup fever, but seriously afflicting me. I can hardly get my head off the air.
See, me and Tom were just mentioning off air there the fact that the FA Cup does rather lose the magic, if you like, once your team gets knocked out. And for all three of us, that happened in the last round.
True, but I'll tell you what, it's come to the it's got to the stage now, the FA Cup, where I'm wondering, you know, when Sutton are playing Arsenal on Monday, I think it is, will Sutton rotate their side to keep them fit for the year of Vanarama, whatever league they're in? Jesus, it's great to go on at the game, hasn't it, the FA Cup? Sorry, it's still great to bet on, but as a trophy, it's a trinket now.
Okay. Well, we'll start with the Saturday lunchtime game. We've got five televised games to look forward to, and then we'll focus back on the Saturday 3 o'clock games. The first televised game, Saturday lunchtime, Burnley against Lincoln. Burnley 130 on the draw, 4-1, and Lincoln are 10-1. Lincoln have done fantastically well in the FA Cup so far this season. They're also doing very well in the league, but they travel to Turf Moor. And Derek, as we know, Burnley at home, pretty much untouchable at the minute.
That's it. You know, they're beating big teams from the Premier League, Burnley, at Turf Moor. So why on earth should we think Lincoln will go there with a chance? Especially when you look at Premier League sides that have treated the FA Cup almost with disdain this season. And yeah, I think Burnley are one of the few who haven't. I think Sean Dyche actually fancies his chances of a good cup run. And rightly so. If you're at home in the fifth round to a non-league side, you've got to fancy your chances. I remember, when I look at a game like this, you see Burnley at 3-10. This is a Premier League side at home to non-league opposition, and the 3-10. It should be mortgage job material. But I remember something Harry Redknapp told me a long time ago about cup matches like this. I think he was manager of West Ham when they had a real scare against a team called Emley. And he said that the only difference between Premier League players, we're not talking about the superstars, the Thierry Henrys and so on, you know, the run-of-the-mill Premier League players and non-league players. If Premier League players can be relied on to turn it on every week. Non-league players can't. They're inconsistent. At their best, they might even be as good as some Premier League players. So that, with that in mind, I fully expect Burnley to win this, but I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, and I wouldn't be back in the 3-10. I'm going to actually go for Lincoln, who are doing exceptionally well. He's knocked out two championship sides. I'm going to go for Lincoln with a two-goal start here, because I think Burnley will just be glad to get over the line, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. Lincoln on the handicap. Lincoln plus two is 5-6, so certainly a fair enough price. And if you do think, well, you want to take a shorter price, Lincoln plus three at 2-7 is almost the same price as back in Burnley on the outright. So if you are going to take a short one, perhaps Lincoln could outperform their odds here, Tom. What do you think?
Well, Burnley are in a position now where I think they probably thought if they got to this stage of the FA Cup, they would still be right in a relegation battle, you know, at the beginning of the season, and the FA Cup would not be a priority. All of a sudden now, you're looking at the teams that are left in the competition, and there is absolutely no reason, if the draw's kind to Burnley, that they couldn't get, you know, right to the latter stages and maybe even get a trip to Wembley. And this was probably, you almost felt the disappointment from Lincoln when they got this tie, because yes, it's a Premier League tie, but it's not a Premier League stadium that holds 60, 70,000. So their share of the gate receipts isn't going to be huge. They're going to one of the fortresses in the top flight. They've only lost three of the last 29 games in all competitions at Turf Moor, Burnley. So it's not really the one that Lincoln would have wanted. So it's tough on a footballing point of view, and it's not going to be a massive boost financially. I mean, don't get me wrong, Lincoln getting to this stage of the competition is still a boost for them. But I'm with Derek in the fact that I don't think this will be a cakewalk for Burnley. I don't think they'll be in a position where they'll make loads and loads of changes. The one thing that Sean Dyche has is a pretty strong squad. It might not be the biggest, but it, you know, the competition there, you know, he can move players like for like, and it doesn't massively damage the side. I mean, someone like Sam Vokes, you know, hasn't been starting matches recently, you can bring him in, and you're talking about a player who is decent enough at Premier League level. And the one thing I looked at with Lincoln is their goal scoring. Not only are they in good form, they've won seven of the last eight games, four straight wins going into this one, so confidence is high, unlike, you know, Sutton on Monday night. But they're a good goal scoring side. They've scored 61 goals in 30 league games this season. And the other thing I noticed, although Theo Robinson, who's their FA Cup top scorer, got, you know, left on deadline day, so that's a blow for them. There is six players in their squad that have five or more goals. So the goals are pretty much spread around for Lincoln. And albeit this is a huge step up, And albeit Burnley have managed to keep clean sheets against some better sides recently, or Premier League outfits, I've just got a feeling that Lincoln will absolutely go for this one. I'd back them to get a goal, but I don't back them to win the match. So I'm going to play Burnley and both teams to score it 21-10. But I do think as well there'll be some good goal scorer bets, in particular somebody like Sam Vokes who will step into the side.
Okay, one that I will just throw at you at a massive price. Luke Waterfall anytime, 15-2 for Lincoln. You mentioned that they do spread the goals around. He's a centre-back, but he's not bad at all for a centre-back. And he's the main threat from set pieces. I actually went to watch Lincoln at York a few months ago with one of the lads in the office. He's a big Lincoln fan. And he said to back him. I didn't. He scored. But 15-2, you can have anything on that, can't you?
What do they say, Alex? Don't go chasing waterfalls.
I know.
Oh, love it.
The thing is, I think I've mentioned that on another podcast,
probably.
And I think I said the exact same line.
Probably.
It's dreadful, isn't it? Right. So Burnley to scrape through, we're saying to get through, but Lincoln to put up a decent fight. The Saturday tea time game is Wolves against Chelsea. For this one, Wolves are in the betting at 13-2, the draw 7-2, and Chelsea are 4-11. Wolves have had a very funny season. At their best, they are pretty good, actually, but they're having a pretty rough time of things at present, and they come up against a Chelsea side who, once again, pretty untouchable. That said, Tom, Chelsea's strength in depth perhaps isn't the same as some of the other sides towards the top of the Premier League. Do you think that'll be an issue here?
Yeah, well, possibly. You know, there's a few players, there's a few injuries as well, so there'll be some changes at the back for Chelsea. But up front, you know, you're looking for someone like Batshuayi to kind of take centre stage in this game, and I think he will. I think, you know, with Wolves, undoubtedly, you know, along with Sutton, you know, probably the biggest result, if not the biggest result of the last round, was going to Anfield and getting the result. Paul Lambert, yeah, he's found it tough there, and I genuinely think that Wolves will be sort of top 10, top 6 contenders next season, because I think he'll get the house in order. In the league, they haven't really moved. They seem to take sort of one step forward and one step back continuously. Defensively, they're a little bit more solid, but they've clearly had their thoughts on this game. I mean, losing 1-0 to Newcastle at home is no great shame, but you know, the midweek defeat to Wigan, I think, has been a little bit of a shock for them. So it's three defeats in a row for Wolves, just when they seem to be getting some momentum around that Liverpool game. You know, they went to Barnsley after that and won pretty successfully. So I like what Paul Lambert's doing. I like Paul Lambert as a manager. I think he's good, but you know, look, this Chelsea team are going to have way too much for Wolves, because although they have tightened up defensively, at home they've been a little bit vulnerable. And I just think even Chelsea, if they make four or five changes, there's far too much strength in this side, and you know, I think Wolves are going to find it pretty tough. I think the focus has probably gone a little bit after that Wigan defeat, and Chelsea kind of having this great run, aren't they? They've not met a top flight side yet, and they could go all the way without doing that. So, look, Chelsea are obviously a very, very short price here, but I just can't see the upset here. I think the way Wolves play and some of the players that they have attacking wise, I think it will open things up a little bit for Chelsea. I think they're still quite an attack. Lopsided side, Wolverhampton Wanderers, and I think that will play right into Chelsea's hands. So I think Chelsea will win. But Batshuayi is the player that I would probably take a look at here. I think he's a player who's got to prove himself to be the worthy heir to Diego Costa, and whether he is or he isn't, games like this are important for him. So 9-2 for him to score two or more. I think there'll be goals in the game, and I think Chelsea win.
Okay. Batshuayi then is, as you said, 9-2, two or more. 19-20 anytime if you want to back him. Derek, do you see a Chelsea win here?
Well, yeah, I mean, if Chelsea were involved in Champions League action, you know, maybe not. Maybe they would seriously rest a few players. But they hardly seem to play a game these days, Chelsea. So there's no reason to rotate. I reckon Conte will go with a pretty strong side. And it will be too strong for Wolves, who, though impressive at Liverpool, I was at that game, and they were very impressive, Wolves. They've been useless at home. I mean, I think they've been booed off the pitch in the last two matches. In fact, so bad they might be booed onto it this time around. That's how bad they've been at Molineux. I just can't see Chelsea slipping up, because they just, no matter what side they put out, it'll be too strong for a Wolves side. By the way, I've only won 9 out of 30 games in the Championship, and now they're playing the Premier League winners elect. You know, it's too tall an order for them. Chelsea minus a goal is just under even money. That's a gift.
Okay, Chelsea then to get the job done pretty comfortably at Molineux. We'll move to Sunday's action then. Fulham Spurs is the 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Spurs only 2 away wins in their last 14 in all competitions. Fulham are 3-1 here. The draw 11-4, and Spurs are 3-4. Once again, Derek, it's Premier League sides away from home. You would expect them to get the job done. This time, Spurs, despite the fact that away from home they haven't been superb, a slightly more appealing price than others that we've seen so far.
Oh, I don't think so. 3-4, I think the way they're playing, especially in cup matches, accepting those kind of odds is the quickest way to the poorhouse, which I have on sat-nav, by the way. I mean, what's worse? Is it being mullered by Munich like Arsenal were, or losing to a mid-table pub side from Belgium like Spurs were? It was an absolutely disgraceful performance against the Belgians the other night. I mean, it wasn't men against boys. It was like ladies against gents. That's how bad Spurs were. And I followed that non-show against Liverpool last week when they made Liverpool look like Brazil. And for the previous 4 weeks, Liverpool had looked like Bradford. I mean, I can't back Spurs here at all. And I really don't think Pochettino will have his players fired up for this game, because he seems to have just been thrown in towel after towel in cup matches. Fulham have done well. They're a tidy side at home. And I honestly think 3-1 Fulham here against a side that I don't think will have their minds on it. I think it's a great bet.
All right then, Fulham for Derek at 3-1. Are you in agreement we could have an upset on the card here, Tom?
Without a doubt. You know, I look at Spurs at the moment, there's a vulnerability. There's no question when Spurs have their strongest 11 out, they're as good as most teams in the country. But one or two key players out, I mean, suddenly Danny Rose's absence, Vertonghen's absence, and they look a completely different outfit. They're vulnerable away from home. They've not convinced me at all this season, Tottenham. It's been a big problem for them, I think. You know, they've ground out results when really, if you're talking about a team throughout the season that were meant to be title challengers or are title challengers, they've had to do a lot better. And I think this is the kind of game they won't enjoy. And for Fulham fans, you've had a bit of a miserable time of it of late. You know, since relegation from the Premier League, they've never really been in with a sniff of promotion. They're not going to get promoted this year. But there is a feeling that, you know, Jukanovic is doing an extremely good job. I maintain, you know, I've seen every Championship side in the flesh this season, and I still maintain that Fulham are one of the best, if not the best side that I've seen from an attacking point of view. And that's borne out in recent games at home. They've won 4 on the spin. They've scored 12 goals in that run. They've ripped some teams to pieces in the Championship. And I mean good teams. Huddersfield, they beat 5. I think they beat Reading 5 as well at home. But they definitely beat Huddersfield 5 earlier on in the season. So this Fulham side aren't bad, albeit this is their toughest test of the season at Craven Cottage. I think their fans will be right behind them, right up front. It's a little taste of what they've been missing out on the last few years. So I think Fulham are a good bet here to win the game. I've got no faith in Tottenham. But one thing I do like to play here is, regardless of the result, if you're a bit unsure and you think Tottenham's quality is going to come through regardless, Fulham to score over 1.5 goals is 15-8. And, you know, the way they've been scoring goals and the way that they play, and if Tottenham dare make more changes to the injuries they've got, I think they're going to face a very, very tough afternoon by the River Thames.
And Spurs did ship 3, didn't they, to Wickham in the previous round. So, okay, then, Blackburn Man U is the next game we're going to focus on. This one, 4:15 on Sunday. Blackburn 7-1, the draw 4-1. Man United are 4-11. Is this going to be straightforward, Tom? Man U are in flying form. Just that draw at home to Hull that's blotted their copybook in recent weeks. And Blackburn, with all due respect, just aren't very good.
No, Blackburn are a poor side. You know, the one thing that they have been this season is they've never been sort of humiliated that often. You know, when they do lose, whenever you see a Blackburn result, it's normally like it was in midweek, which was a 2-1 defeat against Sheffield Wednesday, which means they've probably come away taking a little bit of hope from that and heart from it. But they're right in the relegation battle in the Championship. And Owen Coyle has made zero improvement. If anything, the team's gone backwards. The club's in an absolute mess. So when you look at it from Manchester United's point of view, for me, it's more about the opponents that they're playing against. And I don't think Blackburn will put up any kind of threat at all. I'd seen them the other week, Blackburn, and you know, they're relying basically on Danny Graham up front to, you know, to get them the goals. And he is long since the player he was when he had that 2 or 3, you know, good seasons at Watford. So, you know, I can't see Blackburn laying a glove on Manchester United. Although Manchester United have, you know, in my head, and I haven't really looked it up, but I seem to remember, you know, after European games and stuff, they seem to be a little bit slow, but, you know, sort of getting back to some kind of form. But they're going to be too good for Blackburn. And again, Jose Mourinho will make changes, won't he, to his side. And even if he does, there's going to be far too much for Manchester United. But, you know, looking at it from trying to find some value here, you're kind of having a second guess on who's going to play, you know, to try and boost it or what kind of goals we're going to get and how many goals we're going to get. I think Manchester United will win very comfortably. So I'm going to play the handicap here and I'm going to play Manchester United -2 at 12-5. I think it'll be routine, comfortable and without any kind of problem.
OK. Derek, we mentioned that Chelsea don't have the greatest strength in depth. It's quite the different story for Manchester United. Their squad's huge.
It is, yeah, and whichever side they put out will be a good side. But I'll tell you what, I've got a slight niggle in my mind about this fixture, because Mourinho, the Man United manager, has been moaning all week about the fixture pile-up United will face in the closing weeks of the season if they progress in all the cup competitions. And in the final of the year, the League Cup next week, they've got another 1 foot in the last 16 now of the Europa League after winning 3-0 on Thursday night. And if they win this, there's more, you know, well, not yet another Premier League game will have to be postponed for the next round of this one. So he's been bleating and bleating. Now, do you remember when he was at Chelsea and Chelsea lost at home? So was it Bradford when he went 2-0 up and lost 4-2 or something? Was it Bradford?
Yep.
Now, no one is ever going to convince me that Chelsea was sad to go out that day. No one. I've seen the game. I can't tell you my feelings here because I'll probably be sued. I've got a slight niggle here that Man United might not be 100% committed, might not be even 50% committed. I might be wrong. They might go out. They might think, well, Blackburn away, and we'll win that and win in round six of the FA Cup. But they've got so many fixtures coming up, and Mourinho doesn't... I mean, I know that Chelsea under him did well in the FA Cup, but that season when he went out against Bradford, that showed me, really, if you've got chances of doing stuff elsewhere, the FA Cup is the first thing you'll sacrifice. I'm not saying they will, but when I back a 4-11 poke, I want to be pretty certain they're trying, and I'm not here. I'm not saying Blackburn are any kind of better 7-1 because they've got other things on their mind too, i.e. trying to stay up in the Championship, and it's not looking good for them at the moment. It really gives me a problem, this fixture. What I will go in, I'll just play go down the safe route and go Blackburn with the start, because I think this is a game that should lift the Blackburn fans. They haven't had much to lift them all season long, and it should lift the players. What worries me, of course, is that, you know, they might say, well, no, we've got big games in the Championship coming up. We need all our energies for that. I hope they don't, because in my nostrils, there's a sniff of an upset. I'm going for Blackburn +2 at just under even, 7-10.
Okay, Blackburn +2 in that one. And don't forget, for all of the games that we've mentioned so far and all the others, plenty of enhanced odds for you to get stuck into. I think Team News pretty important for a lot of those, but do take a look at them on the William Hill website. The Monday night game then is Sutton against Arsenal. Sutton are 12-1, the draw 11-2, Arsenal are 1-6. Derek, is this an absolute gimme? Arsenal have obviously been scrutinised a little bit in the media this week. Their embarrassing performance at Bayern Munich, plenty of question marks against Arsene Wenger's future, but they're still 6-1 on here against a side so far beneath them. Surely whatever team they put out, they'll win this, no?
Well, it depends. If they play Ozil, they'll probably lose. Jesus Christ, that guy. I mean, there's a new Disney Pixar film coming out, Finding Ozil. Hey, the guy is an absolute disgrace. $44 million for the... I can't tell you what I feel about that player. I know that I was saying this weeks ago, and Tom will back me up on this. I've been saying this for months about Ozil. I just can't see it, what he brings to the table. And what he brought on Wednesday night in Bayern Munich was an absolute disgrace. I mean, you're right, there are huge question marks over Arsene Wenger's job. He's been there too long. No one in British sport has ever had an easier ride than Wenger. I've been saying that for years, apart from whatever Dermot Brown was riding when he was at Cheltenham. It's just one of those things, you can't explain how he's got away with it, like Lee Phelps having a stalker. But he's going now. He's going. He's got to go, because he's taken Arsenal backwards in the last, 5 or 6 years. And, you know, his time is up, basically. This is an Arsenal team, by the way, who are there for the flaking, but Sutton aren't going to do that, are they? This is a non-league team against a team out a few weeks ago winning the running for the Premier League title. I know it's an artificial pitch, et cetera, but to be honest, silky Premier League players that Arsenal have should be made up to play on that kind of surface. You just can't bring yourself to back Arsenal at 1-6, though. Just after watching them the other week. By the way, on Wednesday. By the way, everyone seems to be forgetting that away goal they scored Arsenal. That could be important in the second leg. Yeah, right. I'm going to go for Arsenal here to win well, because they've got to. They can't afford another upset. They're not going to get beat, but they can't afford another scare, basically. They've got to do the job, and they've got to do it well. So I'm going to go for Arsenal to cover all the handicaps. And I would say, let's say Arsenal -2 is 11-10. Shouldn't be odds against that.
Okay, fair enough. Tom, we mentioned there the artificial pitch. You'd think that is a plus point for Arsenal. They'd certainly rather play on that than a field, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, the two rounds of the FA Cup that I've seen live this season were at Cambridge and at Sutton in the last round. And believe me, the pitch at Cambridge was... pose far more problems than the one at Sutton. I mean, you know, as soon as the players get used to it, you know, the bounce of the ball and everything, that's the only thing that is, you know, is that there's a little element of surprise about it. But once they get used to it, you know, top-class players, and let's not forget, I mean, Arsenal have a squad littered with top-class players, albeit not necessarily doing it, of course, and there's big question marks about a lot of other characteristics they need to have in their squad. But ultimately, they have players that are far more quality than this Sutton United side. I mean, it's a Sutton United side who I was just reading about their captain earlier on today as well, how before the Leeds game he'd had two fried breakfasts in the morning, a little nap, He'd had 7 pints of Guinness the night before. And, you know, for them, this is just, I mean, it's just up an incredible notch, even from the last two rounds where they managed to get results. So I think it's going to be all too much for Sutton. I think they'll be caught in the headlights slightly because these players are superstars. And a lot of the players within the Sutton ranks are Arsenal supporters. So I think they're going to be more worried about chasing autographs than anything else. I think even the changes that are made to the team, Arsenal will obviously be too strong. And I tell you, I'm going to go for him. I'm going to go for Danny Welbeck to find the goals. So I think he'll get his opportunity. Scored 2 against Southampton, didn't he, in the previous rounds. And he's a player that a lot of Arsenal fans are kind of calling for, really, up front. And I think he'll get his opportunity. And I'd back him here. I like the enhanced odds of a Welbeck goal and Arsenal to win at even money. I think that's cracking value.
Yeah, certainly seems fair. Again, we'll wait on team news, but you would think he'd be one of the ones who is drafted in for a contest such as this. Right, we'll move back to Saturday then. We've got 3 3 o'clock games to focus on. These are not televised. The first of which is Middlesbrough against Oxford. 2's on for Borough, 16-5 the draw, and Oxford are 11-2. Tom, Middlesbrough, their focus is very much on staying up in the Premier League so far this season, and they just don't score enough goals. They come up against an Oxford side who, is it possible to have multiple cup upsets yet not be surprised by any of them? Because last year they beat Swansea, they've already beaten Newcastle, and again, if they went to the Riverside and won, yes, it would be a bit of a shock given that they are away from home, but I wouldn't be that surprised.
No, I wouldn't be surprised because, as you say, Middlesbrough don't score goals. They don't concede many. I mean, you know, they're only behind Chelsea, Manchester United and Spurs in terms of the best defensive record in the Premier League, which is, you know, you've got to give them credit for that. But, you know, we go and watch football to be entertained, and Middlesbrough fans go and watch football. Yes, they want to see their team stay in the Premier League, and I think there's a decent chance they're going to do that. They want to see some entertainment as well. And they've been handed a brilliant cup draw, by the way. You know, Accrington and Sheffield Wednesday at home, they've dispatched of them. But they've dispatched them in not exactly an incredible sort of fashion. And I think that's what the Middlesbrough fans now are, you know, there's a bit of tension there, clearly, with Karanka. We've talked about it before on the podcast. But this is the kind of game where I think Middlesbrough fans will be turning up thinking, well, go on then, play three strikers. You know, let's sort of let the reins off a little bit, because they should be far too good for Oxford. But they won't. He'll play 3 defensive midfielders, as he has done. He did name strong starting 11s as well in the previous 2 rounds. So I think if we're looking at team news, I don't think Karanka will make, you know, sort of 5 and 6 changes, far from it, because they've got an opportunity now of maybe pushing for Wembley. Middlesbrough win. I mean, instantly when I see Middlesbrough again, no matter who they're playing against, I zoom in straight to the 0-0 draw at 10-1 here. And Oxford will probably feel that they might not be able to score, but if they can keep Borough out, which isn't the most difficult of challenges, then they might fancy a replay here. I think ultimately, though, Borough, like the last 2 rounds, I think it's going to be a similar sort of story. And I think they get through, but do not expect goals in this game. A Middlesbrough win and under 2.5 goals at 11-5 is how I'd play it.
OK. And Derek?
Well, I can't back a team at 1-2 that can't score goals, basically. It's too short. And, you know, also the fact that the Premier League survival, it should be uppermost in their minds. It's interesting what Tom says about them playing strong teams in the last couple of rounds, but I'm not sure whether they were in the kind of difficulties in the Premier League then as they are now. I can't back them at 1-2. The draw is appealing, to be honest. It's 16-5. I mean, Oxford have conceded fewer goals in mid-table in League One. They conceded fewer goals than the league leaders, Sheffield United. So it's not as if like they're leaking goals. Middlesbrough keep it tight. I wouldn't put anybody off a 0-0 draw, to be honest. But I'll play safe. Might just be a 1-1. I'll go for the draw at 16-5.
Okay, Oxford potentially with an upset in that one. Huddersfield, Man City, another of the Saturday 3 o'clock games. Huddersfield 11-2, the draw 7-2, and Man City are 4-9. Huddersfield are absolutely flying at the minute. Yeah. They were superb in victories against Brighton and pretty good against Leeds as well. A few weeks ago, they're coming off the back of a last minute winner away at Rotherham. Granted, Man City are in decent form now as well. They've had a real boost in recent weeks. I'm surprised this one isn't televised, to be honest, Eric, because this could be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, it is. It's Saturday 3 o'clock in the FA Cup these days is for the real rank bad fixtures, and this looks a good one. My worry here, of course, is that both sides will probably have other things on their mind. Huddersfield, of course, really closing the gap on the top 2 in the Championship. You know, looking for a playoff spot looked the best they could hope for a few weeks ago, and now automatic promotion is within their sights. Great run they're on, absolutely unbelievable. City have shown a bit of form too, but they've got a massive game coming up next week against Monaco in the Champions League. So, you know, are they going to be fully at it? 4-9 away from home doesn't make any appeal here. Huddersfield 11-2, I think it's a bit short, to be honest. And I know they're flying. I know they're only in the Championship, only one division lower.
but I thought I'd get a bit more than that. Really, I'm really struggling to know what to do with this fixture. I don't think either side would want to draw. Huddersfield are playing Reading on Tuesday, I think, in a big, big fixture for them. Don't know what to do. Really don't know what to do. And what I probably will do, if forced to have a bet in this, I'll probably just go for a goal scorer. And I'd imagine Sterling. Do you think Sterling will play? I think he's looking so dangerous to City. I'm going to vote for him to get on the score sheet.
OK, Sterling to score then. Obviously, we will wait on team news, but Sterling 7-4 any time. I mean, this does present an opportunity, doesn't it, Tom, for some of the fringe players, the likes of Iheanacho and Nolito and Navas to come in and maybe perform. But I think the issue is that at certain stages of the season, when they have had the opportunity, they haven't really grasped it.
No, they haven't. And it's probably no surprise that in the last round of the competition down at Palace, you know, Kompany, Sagna, Cliche, Kolarov, Silva, Toure, Delph, Sterling, Sane, Jesus, they all played. I mean, that's a pretty strong side, you know, give or take three or four players. And I don't think Pep Guardiola will do anything differently. I think he'll go strong, you know, I say strong. He'll certainly play a team that I think could easily win this game. And I say easily win this game because, albeit Huddersfield are flying, there's one notable loss for them, and it's Aaron Moy in midfield. The Australian player who is on loan from Manchester City obviously can't play. And without him, I mean, his stats is, you know, for sort of the football hipsters out there, he's the man, isn't he? Because he makes Huddersfield tick. He does everything for them. He sets the tempo of the play. And without him, and he's barely missed any games this season, despite flying around the world and playing for Australia at times, without him, I would never back Huddersfield, probably against anybody, certainly not a Manchester City side that are finding a little bit of form. And I think they'll be functional in this one. And I think Huddersfield will leave it open. The other thing from Huddersfield's point of view, reading some comments from their owner, Dean Hoyle, he's effectively said in public, this is not, I mean, I know he's stating the obvious, but it's unusual for somebody publicly to say it, you know, an owner of a club, where he's basically said, this is nowhere near a priority for us. This, you know, we are all about Tuesday night, and I think Huddersfield will have to put that in mind. So I think Manchester City win, because I think even with 5, 6, 7 changes, they'll be too strong for him. Yaya Toure might get a look in, always worth a look for me, 7-4 any time, but ultimately I think Man City win this and probably cover a couple of goals here. City -2 is 11-4.
The final game we're going to focus on is Millwall against Leicester. Millwall are 2-1, the draw 11-5, and Leicester are 7-5. And Tom, once again, when is a shock not a shock? Because Millwall have already beaten Bournemouth and Watford at home in the Cup so far. They come up against the Leicester side, who I think this season you could pool into a similar bracket as Watford and Bournemouth. And Millwall are absolutely flying. They've not conceded a goal yet in 2016, and their last loss was in... Actually, that's just at home that I'm looking at there. But I think I'm correct in saying, yeah, still the same. Last loss, 17th of December. They're absolutely flying, and Leicester are a mess at the minute.
Complete mess, and Millwall have kind of been my saving grace in the FA Cup this season, you know, from backing teams, because their previous two matches, it just looked like a good thing, didn't it? Millwall at home against teams that were kind of out of form, out of sorts. Neither of Watford or Bournemouth in the previous rounds you'd have backed to sort of roll up their sleeves and put in what you need to put in at the Den, which is a solid performance. And that's what Millwall have managed to do. You know, in previous years, their home form's gone away from them. They've got it right back. As you say, you know, 8 unbeaten at home, 5 clean sheets in a row. They're unbeaten in 12 in all competitions. You've got a team like Millwall that are flying, that have already done the business over two Premier League sides. Two Premier League sides that, you know, in the league table are better than Leicester this season. And you've got Leicester coming with again, Claudio Ranieri saying multiple changes. You know, the Premier League is now the priority. This is their game ahead of a Champions League match that they take on Sevilla on Wednesday night. And we know earlier on this season how that affected them. You know, those matches before big Champions League games. So it's Millwall all the way for me. I think it's absolutely stonking at 2-1 and probably my favourite of the weekend.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. Derek?
Yeah, I will fade it. There's an argument here for saying that a League One side playing against the Premier League champions should be favourites. I mean, that's how far Leicester have fallen, and it's a note to the form that Millwall are in. They look a good side, and you know they're a bit far cast adrift in League One from the top couple, but you know they'll probably get in the playoff spots the way they're playing. Could be in the Championship next season. So good Leicester. I think 2-1 is a great. Given that they've done it against teams that were in better form than Leicester are now, and as Tom says, higher up the league table than Leicester are, it looks unopposable.
It does. I know what you mean though. Leicester should be favourites. But you look at it and you just go, no. I personally make Millwall favourites for this one. It is a very, very strange one. But
the other thing as well is, you know, when I was listening to Ranieri's comments, very strange. You know, he's he's really damaging, I think, the rest of the squad there. And there's a lot of stories coming out, as there always is when a team's in crisis. But what he was talking about there was, you know, my priority, I will use all my players. You know, he's back to the tinker man. And what he's effectively saying there to the players that haven't been playing in the league, if you play at the Cup, if you play on Saturday, against Millwall, you're not really a man. You know, you know what I mean? I know they know that anyway, but I just think to publicly kind of make it really clear, especially with the Champions League game Wednesday, I think they're in a real mess, that club, and the last thing they want to do is be on a team bus rocking up at the New Den on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, certainly not the easiest place to go, is it? So, right then, as I said, don't forget to take advantage of all the enhanced odds available on each and every one of those games. Perhaps best to wait on Team News for a few of them. What about naps then, gents? Where should we start? Tom, should we start with you?
Well, I'm going to take Millwall then. I'm going to jump in front of everyone else and take Millwall.
Right.
Okay.
I was going to say, this is a fight for who...
Yeah,
if you could have Millwall and Millwall and Millwall in a treble, then it'd be fantastic. But yeah. just at 2-1, just on the outright, Tom.
Yeah, plain and simple.
Okay. And Derek?
Yeah, nothing's leaving out for me apart from Millwall. So I'm going to play... I never normally play safe on these naps, but I will do this time around. I'm going to go for Chelsea minus a goal at Wolves and 19-20.
Okay, Chelsea minus a goal away at Wolves for Derek. And for myself, I'll put one in for Dave Kellner. I'll go for Oxford plus a goal at the Riverside at 13-8. But I think we're all agreed that Millwall... definitely the better of the round on this occasion. Great chatting to you, gents. I think Dave Kellner will be bothered to get out of bed next week. I think. I can't promise anything.
I hear he's gone skiing. I thought he was one of the stand-in for the jump on Channel 4. I was waiting to see him flying down.
To be fair, the amount of celebrity status that is on
exactly.
That, I think Dave Kellner, the golf podcast Dave Kellner, is possibly enough to be third or fourth most famous on that.
He turned it down. He was invited. They're going to go for Phelps next.
No, yeah. I don't think
as
so.
As a mountain.
His knees couldn't cope. He's, anyway. Right, thanks for joining me, gents. Best of luck with your bets. And the same to you, listeners. We'll be back soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.